You are listening to 20 Minutes with Chad with your host, Chad Meisenheimer, and his co-host, Simon Watson.
Hey, and welcome to an episode of 20 Minutes with Chad, where Chad discusses what he watches on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, that too. And like, this is like, what, our second, third attempt trying to record this episode?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Liar. He had an old man status, and he had all his information all full. He's like, I'm just going to click and clean out some of my cache and all my downloads. And he deleted, like, two episodes.
Well, if you did your own recording and sent them to me, we would have backups, wouldn't we?
Well, true, but I don't have a really good recording device. I guess I could record my part on, whatchamacallit.
Hit record. You could just hit record like I hit record.
On this side?
Yeah.
I think it charges me, though.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, I don't know, man. Zoom is pretty Jewy, so I don't know how to...
I'm not commenting on that in any way. Now, I want to discuss starting off with the Norm Macdonald special you made me watch.
Yes.
Did you find this funny?
I actually really liked it, but I'm very... But you see, the thing is, I like performance art in a way where it was very different, where I like when comedians... It's not all jokes. And a lot of the stuff you see on specials, it's just like they've done the practice material for like 3 years going on the road and doing comedy clubs and theaters and all that stuff. And that's cool. And specials are very – they film a very different way anyways because it's all scripted. Like people don't get – those specials are scripted because you have legal and all the streaming and stuff so they don't get sued. So that's the thing where this one just kind of felt like it was a little more personal to him. And this is what I like also about British comedian shows, too, is if you watch a lot of their fringe stuff, like the Edinburgh Fringe Festival and stuff like that, a lot of them are very one-man showish, very, like, stage, which I like. And that's one of the things that I like about it, and that's what I felt like was very personal to him. So, and the whole mom bit, too, I was just like, when he did the whole mom bit, I kind of was just like, oh, snap type thing. Like, what did you think about it?
Lame, absolutely lame.
I mean,
it wasn't for me. I'm not a Norm Macdonald's fan. I never have been. I like him.
Weird because is he Canadian? I thought all you Canadians stick together.
Is Norm Macdonald Canadian? I don't even know if he is.
I think he is. I'm pretty sure he is.
I can't even say he's Canadian because I don't know.
I kind of don't know 100.
Oh, do you youngsters? Do you have that phone thingy out again that tells you things? You little youngster.
Like the Google? Yeah, Quebec City, Canada.
Oh, he's a French Canadian.
Yeah, probably that's why you don't like him because he's a Frenchie.
That's probably it. Even though I'm going to be there.
You crunchy next month.
Now, what is your obsession with senior year?
Dude, actually, because, like, everyone was bagging on it, so I was just like, great, I'm not going to enjoy it. Like, it's not the greatest or most original concept, but it's like, it is what it is. And, of course, I felt like I got the irony because I feel like it was just like, we're 30-something. Well, she's 42, so she's a lot older than 37. But it's just like kind of like a wink, wink, kind of like, oh, we know this is a stupid plot, but, hey, play along with it. I kind of enjoyed that. Element of it. I actually thought she's okay. She's not like, she's kind of hit and miss with me sometimes. Like, she's definitely hit and miss. Same with the thing with like Melissa McCarthy. It's just like, it's hit and miss with me. And I felt like she did a pretty good job. Though the only thing that was really weird, like, because she lost so much weight, she looks her age now. Like, she really looks her age because she's 42. And you tell it's like, ooh, she's early 40s now. But I think she pulled it off pretty good. Like, I feel like the supporting actors did a much better job. Like, Sam Richardson, the guy who played the librarian. Oh, my God, he's still the show. Like, I really liked him. The movie theater, the National Museum, when she's doing the straw sequence, I was like, that was something I would totally do. So the supporting cast had a lot more. I think they had a lot more material and context where... she didn't. Rebel Wilson really didn't have any context.
I have to agree with you. I thought the supporting was the best part of the film. Sam Richardson steals this film from Rebel Wilson.
Oh, most definitely. And he's so also is that principal. Brilliant. Like he always steals all the shows he does. Like he was in a series on Comedy Central, which I think he also co-created, was the Detroiters, which was really, really good. It only lasted 2 seasons. It was like a really dark, cynical like comedy, but he did really good in it. But yeah, the chick who played the principal was really good. Like I said, all the supporting roles were really, I think they pulled it off pretty well. I saw a lot of like problems with like pop culture references were kind of wrong because she was in a coma in 99 and she was like quoting things from like 2001, 2000, like 20,000, 2000, wow. Like 2020, like oh, 20, whatever. It was just like certain things she was doing where I was just like, wait, she was in a coma for 20 something years. How would she know that unless she went through like some mind warp or like sucked up all the energy, like fucking blue pill, red pill, Keanu Reeves Matrix style or something. But that was like, but that's just like, it is what it is kind of thing.
Well, it kind of showed me that Rebel Wilson cannot hold her own project. Like she should go, this is my agreement with Melissa McCarthy. Melissa McCarthy usually doesn't work well with the lead. I think she's a wonderful supporting actor. Mm-hmm. Absolutely phenomenal. Except for that one film when she's forging the letters, I thought Melissa McCarthy did a wonderful job.
The Identity Thief. The one with Bateman?
No, that's a terrible film. No, this is the one. I'll get back to it. I'll look it up. I'll use the Google for a change.
Okay,
the Google. I think the problem with McCarthy, she thinks she's a comedian, but she's better as not being a comedian.
No, you see, I just disagree because comedian is such a broad, generic thing. That's what always pisses me off where people always just like, oh, she's a comedian, she's a comedian, she's a comedian. I think she is a comedian, but there's also niche where I feel like she's a better supporting actress comedian than saying a lead comedian who has to hold the thing. And a lot of people don't get is like when you're the lead in a comedy, you're kind of the straight man, or you kind of have to be kind of grounded in reality, kind of, because without you being grounded, everything around you is going to be like over the top, or it just doesn't feel authentic, and it's not going to be funny. So, like a lot of things like that, where like a lot of people don't know that you have to put a lot of effort and work into comedy stuff. Like, and this is coming from a person who's also a comedian and writer and director and actor and producer myself, where it's just like I kind of know my strengths and limitations, and I focus on those and work on those elements, and not like, oh, this is a cool idea. Let me play fucking Abraham Lincoln in the future or something. Like, this is like things like that where it's just like people like come up with these premises and that they just can't hold it together. And that goes back to this one thing where I was watching on Hulu, The Ballet. I love The Ballet. Like that. Okay, first it was a remake from a French film. Have you seen the French film? It was like 2006. It was actually pretty good. And French comedy is a little different. It has a little more pathos and whatnot. But it was really good. The French film, I was just like, okay, they're making a remake. You know, America. Ooh. But it was actually a pretty decent remake. They kind of Americanized it up really well. And then Eugenio, I like his stuff. Like, he did this, like, he did, like, a Mexican TV show that ran for, like, years, like, 10 seasons. And then he also directs, too. So, he's sort of like the, I always say he's like the Mexican Adam Sandler or something. Because he's older than Sandler. But he's like the Mexican Adam Sandler. He's, like, 60-something. But he doesn't look it. And he's just, like, he's really, really good. And I feel like he holds things together really well.
I got to say, hold on, going back. Can you ever forgive me? It's the name of the Melissa McCarthy film that I absolutely think is her best performance ever.
The Forger one you're saying? Because yes. I don't think Identity Thief.
No.
It was called The Forger. Wasn't The Forger?
No, Identity Thief is what you're talking about. The film I'm talking about is Can You Ever Forgive Me? I'm a full recommendation for me. Now, see, back like to the ballet.
I didn't like that one.
Oh, I disagreed. Loved it.
I just felt like, I get it. It was good. But I don't feel like it was – I don't know how to explain it. Everyone's like, oh, she got nominated and stuff. I'm like, okay. I'm like, it just – there's certain movies I sit there and I like Nomadland and shit like that.
You
just
Here we go again.
Forrest Gump. Like Forrest Gump is another
one. I don't like
one.
Forrest Gump.
I hate Forrest Gump like so much. And like even for like what was it – there was like an Al Pacino movie that was just like a bunch of like back in the early 90s. Scent of a Woman. That movie was garbage. And he gets like, and that was like a year where like a lot of films were getting like nominated, and they went with like Al Pacino for a supporting actor, where Al Pacino's done way more better things. Like, I think he should have been like nominated for like Heat or something like that. It was freaking brilliant. So, but later, later films, he did definitely.
Yeah, we're going back to The Valet.
Okay.
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. That guy right? You're talking about, the lead, was phenomenal.
Oh,
he
yeah.
He holds that movie together. And you got to give credit. Betsy does a good job. Mm-hmm. Samara Weaving does wonderful work again.
Mm-hmm. She always feels like, she always feels like a cheap version of Margot Robbie, but.
Oh, see, I disagree. I think she's a better actor than Margot Robbie.
Oh, yeah. She's way better than, I think, Margot Robbie. But everyone always confuses her and, like, always compare her. And I'm just like,
They look nothing alike.
If you look at more classy and fancy and shit with their makeup and stuff on, they sort of do, bro.
I want to get, we're going to throw names out here. Jesse Buckley is another one. I think it's just a stunning actress. It doesn't get enough credit.
Okay.
A Lost Daughter. I just saw Men. She's in again. Blows me away. Wild Rose. I thought she was good in this. See, I can't believe you haven't watched Wild Rose with Jesse Buckley.
I haven't been. It's weird because I was listening to this podcast the other day because I really haven't been into like a lot of the newer movies. Like I watched The Northman the other day, dude. It was complete garbage, and everyone's like praising. Like,
oh, we're gonna get that
movie ever.
Okay. I'm going to get in The Norseman with you right now. I'll say stuff. Okay.
And no, it's just like, so it was a thing where I was like listening to this podcast with Eggers and Mark Maron, and Eggers kind of nailed it. It's just like, they're talking about like, he's not interested in story. Like, that's the thing. None of his movies, he's like, oh, story doesn't interest me. I just want to see visuals. And I'm like, okay, and that's cool. He does great visuals. Like, he knows what he wants visually, but without no story, and it's almost 2.5 hour, 3 hour movie, you're starting like, okay, this looks great, but there was filmmakers in the 70s, you could, like, was it Jodorowsky? Like, this Chilean filmmaker back in the 70s and stuff. He's still alive. He did films like that too, but he still had a story. Like, so I'm sitting there, so I always feel like it's a cop-out when directors go like, you know, I just want to be an artist. It's like, okay, like skeet, you know, come on my face kind of thing. But it's just like, it is what it is.
Hold on. I'm not walking away from this Eggers guy. I love The Norseman. But I got to say, it's not for the story. Couldn't care less what they even talked about. I thought it was kind of basic. It's the story of Hamlet.
Hamlet, exactly. It was freaking Hamlet. And but I was just
hold
like,
on. You had your say. Let me say, that is the most beautiful looking film I've seen since Dune. And to me, that's what I'm looking for. I love the way the mist came off the water. I mean, I love this film. I really enjoy it. I would just play it in the background. I don't need to listen to it. Like, I have no interest in
this film. The music was brilliant. And one thing, the music right. The score was fucking brilliant.
Exactly.
And costumes and production design, like his stuff, like when it comes to that, is great. But if you want to see a real Viking movie, like what it felt like was a ripoff, have you ever seen Valhalla Rising?
Is anybody in it?
Yeah, it has Mads.
Mads Mikkelsen? I have not seen it.
Yeah, it's like it came out around like 2011.
Yeah, it did.
And it's just like that. Was a great freaking movie. If you want to see something, it was almost the same way, very little dialogue. That movie, that was brilliant. That had
but can Mads Mikkelsen do any wrong? I mean, Mads Mikkelsen is just amazing actor that nobody gives him enough
not
credit
just
for.
That, but it was a good film too because the director was the guy who did Drive.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah,
Nicholas Wyndham Refn.
Yeah, like yeah, and I love his work. I love the Pusher trilogy. Like his Pusher trilogy was what inspired me.
Which has been on my list forever to watch. It's not that I'm afraid of it. I just haven't got to it.
It's so good. Oh my god! And it still holds up. And it's like 2022. Like I actually watched it maybe last year. Or it was during the pandemic. I watched it again because they had it on Shudder, and I watched all three of them because they're all very different styles. Like all three. It's just like
well, there's my argument. You're a younger person than me. You don't seem to have a barricade that I find a lot of younger people do in their 20s. Oh, that's too old for me. I can't watch that.
oh God, I have a friend who does that, and he's 30 something. He's like, oh, anything before 1980, I can't watch. Or I'm like, but you're in the film business. Like, well, we do everything now. We made the techniques. I'm like, I sit there and I'm just like, oh my God. And these are why a lot of filmmakers fail. Like, that's why I had this discussion with my mom the other day, because I'm like in this like existential crisis career mode type thing because I'm in this weird phase in my work right now, what I want to do and what I don't want to do no more. And especially that helps when you almost die and everything with the heart attacks and all that stuff. So I kind of been going through this weird phase the last few years where nothing really inspires me. Like, none of the new work is like, oh, look at this, this is great work. It doesn't inspire you, doesn't motivate you. I'm just like, no, it doesn't, because I've seen a better version of that from like 1970. I'm like, or I've seen a better version of this comedy with pathos back then in like 1924 by Charlie Chaplin. I'm like, so this is not new to me. Like, everyone's here like, oh, but it's so original. There's nothing original more. Everyone always says like original. The only thing that's original is your perspective and point of view of that story, your voice to make it unique. But that's the thing now, is like a lot of these filmmakers and writers and directors, which I gripe about all the time, is that they have all these cool cameras, like, oh, I got this lens here and doing this and stuff, but they don't know how to tell a fucking story. And I'm like, yo, it's a story. You need to have a story, at least if you're trying to say something or you're trying to entertain. You could do both. That's like the golden ticket. But a lot of people don't realize, they're like, you have to tell a story. It has to be either saying something or being entertaining. And a lot of times everyone's just like, look at this. I made this cool explosion and da-da-da-da. And I'm just like, cool. I could go to Pornhub and watch better acting, a better story. I'm just like, that's the sad thing. You're just like, oh, chick going down on chick. Oh, sexy stepmom. Da-da-da-da. Okay, better fucking story than most Hollywood movies. So it's like, sheesh. I know, okay. It sounds really bad. I know it sounds like...
No, I'm not going there. I'm like, it's your show. I do have a defense. I would say documentary filmmaking has improved because of better cameras. Like, oh, yeah, the Octopus good. Teachers and stuff. I mean, I'm not saying they're thing, but they're showing me things I would never have seen before 20 years ago. Well, just because camera techniques weren't there. And cameras aren't that strong. And now they can go underwater more. And I look at a film like when the guy's climbing the friggin' mountain. Mm-hmm. That was amazing. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't know if that's new camera techniques, but that thing, man, scared the bejesus out of me when he's climbing them out and they're right on top of him. I'm like, I can't handle this.
No, it's just like, so there's like technology is good, but it's just like, it's cool with the technology. And I always tell people go out and make stuff and everything. And that's what I try to do. But it's just like, but a lot of times, but you still have to have a story. You have to have a story. You kind of have to do all that information. But it makes me sound like this old grumpy old man. And I'm just like, nah, it's just, that's what it is. So that's what I run into.
Okay, we're almost done, but I do have a couple more things because I come prepared. Chad posts, I feel like comedians make great directors because they deserve to observe and comment on those observations.
Yeah, no, because the comedians, they have to be kind of keen and have like a finger on the pulse for observations and commentary. And especially, I feel like that's a skill you need as a director. And they know what works and not. They're good at coming premises. They know how to punch things up. But it's just like, they kind of have to have that. Like, look at Bobcat Goldthwait. He's like one of the best directors I've ever seen. And he's a comedian. Adam McKay, he was started as a comedian. Trying to think who else. Judd Apatow. Like, so you have all these people that are comedians and stuff that can make good stuff. And I'm like, of course, no, Steven Spielberg, you know, George Lucas, visionaries and stuff, Stanley Kubrick. And I don't even like his work sometimes. But it's just like, so you have the visual elements, and then you have the people that they know how to do stories and stuff, and they know what stories are because they're out there every night telling stories and relaying it to people in an audience live in real time. So I kind of feel like that's a necessary tool to have. You can't learn it in film school, that's for sure. You actually have to go out there and kind of experience yourself.
Goodbye.
Chattles out.